Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the WEEI studios.
Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The home of the Red Sox. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey station.
This hour of the Fitzy and Hart Show is brought to you by Shaw's. Shaw's, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Network.
One can't help but be positive. The other can't help but be negative.
Bleep you, you bleeping bleepity bleep.
The only thing they seem to agree on is that they can barely agree on anything.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm Andy Hart. I'm not happy about this.
It's sports radio for the passionate fan.
What's up, Nick?
And grumpy dad in all of us.
That is just so stupid.
Fitzy and Hart.
Yes, I've been listening, Andy.
On Boston Sports Original.
I like the way Andy Hart does it.
Might have Nick just take over.
WEEI.
All right, welcome back in. Brian Barrett, Kyrie Thompson in for Andy. Fitzy is here. By the way, the Yankees are about to lose two consecutive games. They're down 3-0 to the Astros in the top of the ninth. You know, somebody was trying to convince me last week that, hey, you actually should be cheering for the Yankees when they were playing the Blue Jays because you were not going to catch the Yankees, but you want to stay in front of the, you want to basically win out the wild card situation with the Blue Jays. I'm like, from a logic perspective, I know what you're saying. Like, it makes sense. I just can't find myself rooting for the Yankees to beat anybody, even if
it's
it is Toronto.
Really, it's a difficult, it's a tough profession. It's
especially
very, it's
this
very complicated.
Year, now the fact that they are so far and away better than everybody, like, no, I don't want them to be good. What are you talking about?
I don't ever want the Yankees to be good, but I do understand the concept of wanting the Yankees to beat up on, feast on, or just at least knock off the ones that you are going to need to catch.
And so that we can get you later.
Right. And I still think the Sox actually would. I can't wait to see the Sox and Yankees play again. They're very.
Coming up, you're going to get to see a lot of it, man.
I like
only
it.
They played three games. Get
I know.
Ready. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Danny. He's in Quincy. Danny.
Oh, boy.
Well, Fitzy, first, please stop counting the days away, my friend. We wait 9 months to get 3 months of hot weather. I mean, what? Just because of football? I mean, quit talking about it. Please. Not only that, you're wishing your life away, all right?
So I do nothing of the sort. I appreciate every single
Thank
moment.
Thank you, Danny. It's a good
I'm
take.
The one who, I don't understand why they do it, Danny.
Let's just fast forward to November or October. Let's just do that
hey,
right
Hey, my
now.
Birthday's in November. Let us indeed fast forward to November.
You don't want to, Anyway, to the new voice on the panel today, when you say, hey, they just don't have it in the playbook, the stale playbook, when Brian made the point about the RPO thing with Mac Jones, I mean, come on, that's the reason you're giving for what happened last year?
What in particular? What in particular happened last year?
Brian said they could have used more RPO, right? I say misdirection, play action, misdirection, you know, roll out. I don't mean roll out in terms of Mac Jones tucking it under and running. I mean misdirection, play action, misdirection. Okay, you said, well, it's just not in their playbook, and they're working off a Tom Brady play. Tom Brady's been gone for two freaking years. if you can't adjust game to game, quarter to quarter, they were terrible. Not even the red zone, inside the 5 yard line. This goes back to McDaniels. That nobody wants to call McDaniels out. He sucked as a play caller last year for the Patriots. He may have been good for player development and nurturing the guy and mentoring the guy, but his play calling sucked, okay? And for Bill Belichick, I was going to say I'd blame him but he took over the defense. Belichick had his hands full, okay? So they didn't use Mac Jones. Every single defense played the run on the Patriots. Misdirection. The only reason why Harris was able to score 65 yards against Buffalo, because all 11 defenders for Buffalo committed to stopping him, and he cut back against the grain, and that was what won the game. But and they all did it. Every team. Every team played for the run. So why not use more play action?
That's what we're hoping they do this year, Danny, if I'm not mistaken. It seems like a logical progression.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know that we're saying that them doing that was a good idea. I'm just saying, I mean, like, without having the Patriots playbook in front of me, that's just my guess.
Then Belichick should be fired if he's working off if he didn't get rid of the playbook after Brady left and burned it after Cam Newton left, I mean, then he should be fired. That's ridiculous, man. I'm sorry. I don't mean to pick on you, but I wouldn't give that as the first reason.
I think that he should be fired if he did burn the entire playbook and have no continuity, but that's just
He's got a new quarterback. He's got a rookie quarterback, and we're still trying to find out what the guy's strengths are. So, but play action rollout, misdirection, especially inside the 5-yard line, every single team uses it. Every team, even the bad teams, use it. As far as McDaniels goes, I hope he gets crushed out there. I'm gonna wait to see his second failing as a head coach.
Wait, so now we've got a new power ranking. So Danny's least favorite is Puss Face in Tampa, and now your second least favorite.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, New Orleans was able to shut Brady out 9-0 in that second New Orleans game because they used play action. Cason Hill, he couldn't throw the ball if his life depended upon it. And they even used play action.
All right.
Everybody committed to the run. The Patriots were a run first, pass second team last year. If you don't use play action in that situation, then somebody's head should have rolled. And maybe it was McDaniels because he's gone.
Well, Kraft, and Danny, appreciate the call, my friend. Kraft did take shots at McDaniels, sort of, didn't he? Wouldn't you say at the owners' meeting? Didn't he kind of take a shot at him when he said, like, we didn't use the players to their skill set?
I think so.
Wasn't that kind of a shot at McDaniels?
And I mean,
well, he also expects more out of the people. That was more like paid you a lot of money last year, let's show the F up on the field this year.
Of course. And I think that, first of all, Danny, thanks for the call. Secondly, I think you need to go, like, meditate, bro, or, like, go someplace
fiery.
Quiet.
It's very
Quincy. Just chill out. I can hear your blood pressure from here. But the other thing is that, like, yeah. I mean, again, I talked about Nelson Agholor. They played him almost 91% of his snaps on the outside. That is not a good use of Nelson Agholor,
mm-mm.
Right? And again, maybe that had to do with personnel, not having everybody that they needed. But even so, still not a good use of Nelson Agholor.
Side question, though, while you're on the topic of Agholor, why he had two very good seasons in his pro career. He had one with Philadelphia, I think maybe a second or third year in the league. Might have been 2017.
It was indeed 2017,
it was.
And you want to know
he was
the
good
interesting
in the Super Bowl too. But then he was also excellent. I won't say great, but he was very good to excellent with the Raiders. Why? What was done differently with Agholor in those two seasons that allowed him to thrive?
Well, in that 2017 season, they played him like 65% of the time out of the slot. Before that, they had been kind of using him as an outside receiver, and he wasn't doing anything. And then they turned him into a slot receiver, and he had, to that point, the best year of his career, and that's where he tortured the Patriots from in the Super Bowl, was out of the slot, getting him the ball in space. Now, the year in Oakland, they actually, again, kind of used him more as an outside receiver, though they still gave him a healthy amount of stuff in the slot. But then you look at the quarterback that he had. It was Derek Carr, who's just like, oh, yeah, Nelly's down there? Sure, I'll chuck it, you know? And again, some of it was also yards after catch. Get him the ball when he's, you know, in intermediate and deep, and he's got space to run. Like again, I don't think we're talking enough about the fact that Nelson Agholor is really good in space when you get him the football. Like he had Jack Jones like still looking for him, like to this moment.
And Jack Jones, the cornerback rookie out of Arizona State, who had all that good buzz coming out of OTAs and camp, looking feisty, twitchy, as you said earlier.
Yeah, and obviously very, very good. But I mean, they moved him on a, you know, kind of a tight split, and they had Nelson Agholor run an in route, catches it, and then he just had Jack Jones just spinning like a top as he ran for a touchdown. It's like, that's the kind of stuff you need to see more from him, and they did not use him for whatever reason to that effect. And yeah, I think that the play callers or the game planning does deserve a little bit of blame for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe they do more, and maybe they get Aguilar more involved this season because, as you mentioned earlier, Kyrie, the addition to Devontae Parker allows them to do more with Nelson Aguilar, and maybe that's part of what Kraft is alluding to, that they didn't get enough out of the players they signed. I do agree with Danny in the sense that they do have to use more play action with Mac. If you look at it last year, he was 17th in attempts out of play action.
And when you run the ball that much, why aren't you doing more play
action? Right, especially, I mean, you look at it across the league. So first in play action pass attempts last year was Josh Allen. Second was Justin Herbert. And there have been studies done where you don't have to run the ball well to have an effective play action pass game. You look at, like, for example, a guy like Herbert, the Chargers couldn't run the ball at all. They were 21st in rushing yards per game, yet he was a really effective play action passer. You don't have to be a good running football team to do that.
Yes, exactly. I like being on the show with you because you dig into your numbers. I am a fan.
He's the number guy. We don't even know, Kyrie. Brian Barrett's internet is a different internet than everyone else's, and there are numbers,
Ethernet,
stats, figures, the Barrett net, if you want to call it, whatever it is. Brian Barrett's Google is a very special place, and he does his homework, and he brings statisticals to the table.
Yeah. My tab list is also out of control, but I have a feeling you probably got me beat a little bit. But yeah, I think that most definitely we need to see a little bit of a game plan adjustment there. And the best part is that because the Patriots are a good running football team, that can perhaps be even more effective.
Yeah, we'll see if they dig into it. I certainly hope they do. 617-779-7937, the number with you up until Red Sox pregame at 5:10. Do you expect changes to the Patriots offense? Oh, and I did tease this, so I do want to get to it. Can they get more out of Jonnu Smith in year two? We'll address that next here on EEI.
Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
Weekdays, 2 to 6.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, turning now on WEI and WEI.com. The Sox beat the Guardians 6-3 on Friday night. Nick Pivetta the win. He went 7 innings. He gave up just 2 earned. Rafael Devers, Christian Arroyo, each with home runs. The Sox and the Guardians play the second of their 3-game set tonight in Cleveland. 6:10 first pitch across the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Network. You can tune in to the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 5:10. That's sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Josh Winkowski gets the ball in that one. He's opposite Shane Bieber. College World Series starting tonight. Ole Miss and Oklahoma. You can catch that one over on AM 850. First pitch at 7. And ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reporting that Jimmy Garoppolo remains on schedule in his recovery from surgery on his shoulder and his timetable for throwing. John Lynch has said he expects Garoppolo to be healthy enough to throw in early July. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, we're right back to it. Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, Brian Barrett, Kyrie Thompson in for Andy Hart. Fitzy is here. So, do you guys have any hope for Jonnu Smith in year two after what we saw in year one of the Jonnu Smith experiment, if you will?
Can I just say, you teased it earlier, like, can Jonnu Smith improve, or will there be improvement?
It can't be worse.
That's the thing. That's my whole point, is he
only way to go is up.
There's nowhere to go but up. He literally can't be worse. Are they going to get anything? If they get anything from him, literally anything is more than nothing, because he did truly nothing positive for the team save catch a touchdown in the Tom Brady game. Otherwise, like, every one of your signature Jonnu Smith moments from last year is him, I don't know, tripping over his own feet, volleyballing the pass to the defender for a pick six against New Orleans, getting in the way of a pass intended for Jacoby Myers in the Buffalo playoff game. Like, he was just in the wrong place doing the wrong things at all the wrong times last year. He himself admitted, while no one will work harder and he's a workout warrior, that he was away from the team early last year because of COVID and he had a newborn. Now he's been there fully committed this whole offseason. You have to hope that the combination of more familiarity, more practice, more work, the rededication, and these physical tools finally being unleashed on with Jonnu Smith can help him have a reasonably productive season. Let's not judge him against the tight end standards of a Hernandez or a Coates or a Gronk, great tight ends who have left indelible marks and stats on the team. Let's just try to, like, see if he can do something like 35 catches, 500 yards, 7 touchdowns. That would be absolutely spectacular in my estimation.
And I think that part of what you brought up with him not being there for the full off-season slate, I think there was a chemistry issue. I think it's just like little things like, you know, Jonnu would jump for a ball before it got there, right? Like he didn't have the speed of it judged quite right. Or, you know, just like what have you. I feel like on that pick is actually an example where, like, he was, like, stumbling because he was reaching for the ball. He's, like, thought it was going to be there already or, like, whatever. And then he just, like, tosses it straight to a DB for a pick six, right? I feel like the little bit that we've seen of him so far, he's had two awesome plays, right? But aside from the, like, you know, go up and get it plays that he had.
And the catch in Buffalo, right? There was that one.
Well, I'm talking about in training camp, or rather spring practice.
Gotcha.
Rather. Yeah,
gotcha.
Talking about spring practice so far. So he had two, you know, really good, like, go up and get it type plays. But just generally, I feel like Mac Jones has found him over the middle more. And I just feel like their vibe is better. And, I mean, they definitely put in some work in the offseason. All like Jonnu Smith and all the receivers and stuff like that were doing work in the offseason. And so I think maybe just that little bit of familiarity, like, okay, look, I played with you for a little while. I know kind of how to get you the ball. I know how you run routes. I know your speed. You know how the ball is coming to you, right? It's not going to necessarily be like coming 60 miles an hour. It might be coming, you know, what, 50 something, right? And I mean, the interesting thing about Mac Jones was that last year his receivers, his pass catchers had such a low, like, pass dropped rate because, you know, as people have said, Mac Jones throws a very catchable football. So I think that in the end, like, things will regress to the mean in a good way for Jonnu Smith. It's not necessarily that, as you mentioned, he's going to have an incredible year, partly just because I think there are so many solid receiving options. The ball's just going to get spread around. So you might not have anybody who's going to put up like a 1,200 yard season where it's going to be a monster year. But again, as long as he is contributing and getting those opportunities to get the ball in space, which is why, again, keep coming back to, if they run a zone offense, if you're running a split zone, you know, play action where you've got Jonnu Smith coming across the formation to block and then you leak him out of the backfield, like, that is the perfect use for Jonnu Smith, or having him leak out of the backfield on an outside zone, like bootleg play action, like, boom, there's Jonnu Smith open. Like, those are exactly the easy kinds of touches that you can give him.
Yeah, I just hope they get, to your point, they get to Fitzy's point, I should say, they get something out of him. If you look to last year, first four games, 21 targets, after that, 24. So they basically just abandoned him. By the way, update for you, breaking news, the Yankees just got no hit.
Yes!
Wow, okay. Yeah,
what a day!
I did see that was
day.
In the works.
The Yankees just got no hit by the Astros. They are leaving. The Yankees lose. The Yankees lose and get no hit in the process. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Back to Jonnu Smith real quick. As you have opined for the Patriots running more RPOs and play action, what kind of offense was he in Tennessee where he did so well?
Well, that's an interesting point. In 2020, Tannehill was fifth in play action pass attempts.
That's what they
last
do.
Last year, Mac was 17th. And if you look at it, if you look at his yards before catch in 20, it was at 5.1. Last year is at 2.2. So it could have been a situation where he just didn't really thrive in the role they asked him to have.
Mm-hmm. And now they may have to, like, as they tinker with the offense and reconfigure things and allow Mac to do things differently, maybe they find the role for Jonnu Smith, because when Ryan Tannehill ran play action and everyone thought it was going to go to Derrick Henry, oftentimes a very tall, strong man, was open near or in the end zone, and he converted on those. He had 8 touchdowns in 2020. As Brad Foe likes to say on the website, who says no to that?
Yeah, I mean, I would take that in a second. And he was actually good after the catch. Like, when he actually caught the ball.
Or didn't trip over his own
feet. And when somebody didn't commit, like, a hilarious penalty that, like, wiped out. He had so many plays wiped out last year. He just had the worst luck when he would actually do something right.
Yeah, you're not kidding. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Richie. He's in Connecticut. Richie.
Hey, how we doing?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
Good. Love that the Yankees just had as many hits as you, Fitzy, today. But
Richie, Mac easy, Jones. Easy.
I'm sorry. I want to talk about Mac Jones and the weight loss. You guys are talking about the passing game, which is important, but do you think with the weight loss, Mac Jones could morph into a dual threat quarterback, kind of like Lamar or Michael Vick before the incident?
I think he's going to be better than Lamar running next year. I think he'll be way better than Lamar.
Yeah, I think it's fair. They said he's in the best shape of his life.
No,
so
I'm kidding, man. I'm not serious. I don't think he's going to be a better running quarterback than Lamar Jackson. Are you serious? Like, do you really think he's going to be a dual threat running quarterback? This is a serious take?
They said he's in the best shape of his life.
Listen. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, as somebody who has seen him, Mac Jones looks, you know, very svelte, right? And he doesn't look like he runs like a baby deer anymore. But no. He will not be a dual threat quarterback at all. No, not remotely.
He may have some Burrow-esque
scampers.
I'm
going to call back in December if he is, and you guys are going to have to eat your words.
All right, Richie, call back then,
okay? Okay.
I'll look forward to that, Richie. Thank you, buddy.
I thought he was kidding.
Do you think, Matt, 617-779-7937, can Mac Jones be like Mike Vick before the incident? Richie in Connecticut just asked that.
Look, I said earlier in this program that I think Mac Jones could stand to run a little bit more. But have you watched this guy? Okay, look, getting in shape and losing weight is one thing. But do you think dropping a couple pounds is going to magically make this guy run a 4.3?
Oh, he like makes Tom Brady's combine tape look fast. Like he's.
Now Mac's
faster than Tom Brady for sure. He just looks
the tennis player.
He was doing material. He started in on me.
Come on, man. Like, have you seen Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson?
Michael Vick
You think they're better athletes than Matt?
I've never seen. Go to YouTube and watch. Go to YouTube and watch like some of those famous 50, 60 yard touchdown runs that Mike Vick. Yeah, this is called Saturday Radio, Kyrie. Welcome. Welcome to Saturday, buddy. Welcome to late Saturday afternoon radio.
I think I lost a couple of brain cells in that. I'm not going to lie to you, bro.
We all will do that. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Bob. He's in Brewster. Bobby.
Bob, you got a lot to live up to after Richie.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, listen. You know, great show today. I love the three of you. Great combination. Fitzy, I got to give you a shout out.
Thank you.
You're the best quips on the radio.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I love it. I'm also down here at the Cape cooking a steak on the grill, charcoal grill.
Best life. Good for you, Bob.
Yeah, but I don't like beer, so sorry about that.
That's all right.
But listen, I love the Patriots. It goes back to the Mac Heron days when he's grabbing onto a shirt. I really feel like this offensive line is going to help Mac out, you know, in that the play action. And I'm really positive about these guys this year. I really am. I really think, I'm not quite sure I'm Rob Nikovich, 12 wins, but they got a bad schedule. So I really think that, you know, maybe 10 wins. And 10 wins, I think, hopefully gets you into the playoffs.
You know, 10 wins, that's where I have them. At worst, I see the Patriots at 7-10. My best case scenario, Bob, is 11-6. I think the Patriots likely finish as a 9 or 10 win team, because the AFC and especially the AFC East has improved so much around them, because they do have that brutal stretch later in the year with all those primetime games, because of how good Buffalo is and how potentially explosive Miami may be. It's a bit of another transition year, and I think people are going to want to see a team that won 10 games last year make that leap or take another step forward. It's going to be difficult to, but I'll tell you this. I think this Patriots team, once in gear, will be a tough out week in and week out, and so long as they stay healthy and they can learn this new streamlined playbook, if you will, I think the Pats will be a tough out, a competitive watch, and they'll make the region proud game in and game out this fall.
Well, see, I agree with you. I think, you know, football sometimes is a game of attrition. It's like everyone's got talent, and some more talent than others. But the team that has talent got hurt. And then the other team that, I'm not as talented, but we're healthy, you know, boom.
Yeah, and Bob, would you say the team that scores the most points will win?
Hello. Are you an MIT graduate?
Yeah. All right, Bob, good stuff.
Thanks
man.
For calling, Bob.
Call.
Thanks a lot. I would not go so far as to say the Patriots have a bad schedule. I mean, they're definitely – there are some tough. Bad teams on there. I mean, like, you got the Lions, you got the Bears, you got – I mean, look, until the Jets actually show me that they are good, I'm going to consider them a bad team. But
they
mean,
had a good draft.
They did. They did. I really like their draft. It's true. It is true. But until I see those guys actually do stuff on the field, they're still the Jets to me. But you got – okay, Pittsburgh, you know, it depends on who's playing quarterback. I mean, though I don't know that – I'm really worried about whether it's Mitchell Trubisky or Kenny Pickett that bad. I'm not sure about that. But then you got the Ravens. You got the Packers. I do have the Browns. I do have that Browns game penciled in as a win for the Patriots.
Because
I am assuming Watson will not be playing. We'll see about that.
I hope he's not.
But then the Colts, I mean, like, yeah, you might not be that worried about Matt Ryan, but they beat on you last year without him.
Yeah.
They won that game without a quarterback. I mean, come on.
Didn't he attempt 5 passes in that game or, like, only completed 5 and threw that awful interception?
Horrible.
One of the worst interceptions last year.
They won that game with no quarterback play. But then, like, the end of the year, right, the Vikings, maybe, but the Bills, the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Bengals, the Dolphins again, and the Bills. I'm not talking about a bad schedule here. I did have them tentatively at 9-8. But missing the playoffs, because I just don't think 9 wins is going to be good enough in the AFC.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I totally disagree with his take that the schedule is easy. The schedule is very difficult.
I don't know where he
came up with the schedule being terrible.
I
think he meant terrible as in rough or tough for him. Yeah, okay. No, I think it's a tough schedule.
I can totally agree with that. The thing is, like, the Patriots are not, like, so bad that these games aren't winnable, right? Like, when I look at, like, a team like, you know, the Jets, right? The Jets have, like, 6 or 7, I would say, winnable games based on how I currently think of them. And they're probably not going to win all of them. So I have them, you know, as kind of the over-under at, like, 6 wins, right?
Yeah.
You know, they might grab one here and there. But the Patriots, like, you can make an argument that they should be, whether the talent is there or not, the coaching and the execution part should have them competitive, at least in every game. Of course, mm-hmm. they're not going to. They're going to get swept by the Bills. You know, I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Disagree button.
Okay, that's cool. I do think that people are fretting about Miami, and I think they're going to beat Miami in at least one of those games.
Do you think it's going to be the later game when they play in Foxborough, or will it be the opener? Always difficult to play in Miami. Anytime, especially for the Patriots, that's their Bermuda Triangle. Hot AF in September. I think it may be to their benefit to play Miami early because maybe they don't have, like, the high-flying Mike McDaniel offense, his little, you know, South Beach Shanahan routine going on. But guys like Fourier say, like, oh, there's going to be speed and tricks and things that are going to catch the Patriots flat-footed. Which way do you go with that?
I mean, there's definitely the argument to be made that it's not going to be as bad of a transition in week one because you're already used to the heat. So mm-hmm. going down to Miami heat is not going to be as wild, even though the humidity is going to be bad and all that. Right.
Right.
So there's something to be said for catching that offense early. I could see it being like they win the first one, actually, and just, like, kind of flip the script. And then somehow, even though that, you know, you could have a cold shock game coming in Foxborough at the end of the season, but just for whatever reason, it's literally just playing the Dolphins at the end of the season that trips you up somehow. Like, I could see it being a 1-1 split that way. That just defies the logic of it.
All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Logan. He's in Connecticut. Logan, lots to live up to, man. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Sorry about that. I got disconnected. I heard you guys talking about Mac Jones as a dual threat, potentially.
Not us. We weren't talking about
that. No, that was someone else who called in from Connecticut.
Was it you
Like, no, yeah. No, we reacted to the guy saying that Mac Jones could be a dual threat quarterback.
Okay, because it distracted me from my take that I wanted to go over. So that's why. It
distracted everybody from everything. It was Richie in Connecticut.
We thought it was a prank, but he was serious.
Oh, Richie?
Yeah, you know Richie?
Oh, geez. Yeah, no, I don't know Richie. so anyways, I guess I don't want to waste your guys' time, but I wanted to call in. You guys were talking about Kendrick Bourne earlier.
Yeah.
And you guys, it seems like you guys are pretty high on him.
Yep.
Which I like him, but I really don't know if he's the number one guy for the team right now. And I don't know. I think they just signed Jacoby for a couple years.
No, he's only in for 1 year right now.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers is only on a 1 year tender. Yeah.
He's a 1 year. Okay. Yeah. Well, either way, but besides that, I think regardless, I think you've got to sign him big time. Kendrick Bourne, I think, has got the speed, but I don't know if he's the guy to go to. I kind of want to get your guys' take on that. And then you guys were talking about John, who I just don't know if he's it. I don't know if he's the guy. So,
who's claiming he is?
Hey, well, I don't know. Again, just creating comments here. But, no, I just want to get you guys' take on who you think is going to be the one to pull through this year as the number one. And, hey, if Mac, if he can get the speed going, maybe – but at the end of the day,
something in Connecticut. I got to be careful on this drive home today. Thank you, Logan. I appreciate the call. Something's going on in Connecticut. Okay. People with the dual threat Mac Jones Connecticut love.
Y'all
what's
act
going
like
on?
Just because this man in tripping over his own feet that he's going to be a dual threat quarterback. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you've come on now. Like,
it
now,
is 4:30 on a Saturday. I mean,
we have now officially flown.
Like, people could be drinking at this point. I mean, it's 4:30.
Should.
Look, I already expressed enough optimism that he can outrun defensive linemen. You don't want to see this dude try to like take. Here's the other thing. You don't want to see him try to outrun or take hits from linebackers. You don't want to see that. Stop asking for that. The reason that you could have Lamar Jackson do what he does is because he's so good at avoiding unnecessary hits for as much as he runs. You don't want to see Mac Jones do that. You know, you're killing me.
No chance. Let's get to Peter in the car real quick. What's up, Peter?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Pete?
I wanted to chime in on the Mac Jones running. Hey, you guys hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm on a long drive right now. So I'm kind of reskinning the Patriots practice facility right now. You probably notice if you look at it. It's a
You're
lot more.
You're reskinning?
Haven't been in. Yeah, we're putting new fabric on it. We have already put new fabric on it.
Oh, so you were there and you kind of could see. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I got to agree. I mean, he looks a lot more rugged to me, and I got to see him. He was there early every day with all the other fellows, doing gigantic, crazy workout stuff.
Peter, you think he should run the ball more next year?
No. No. But I saw him towing like what looked like. I hope not like giving up the good. He looked like 345-pound plates on a sled to me.
Oh, really?
Like, two of them anyway, and he wasn't jogging. That's for sure. So credit given to Mac Jones. I don't know. He looked a lot more solid in that picture of him celebrating the national championship. That's for sure.
Yes.
Long way to go from there for sure.
Can confirm.
Yeah, I know.
And again,
I don't think. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Thanks a lot for the call. Very cool. Very cool. Kind of side gig taking you over to Gillette to, get a covert look at Patriots practice, bird's eye view. Can't imagine Bill Belichick is totally happy about that people could be getting recon on him. But yeah, I think with Mac Jones getting into better shape, it's not about him becoming a dual threat. And not saying that Peter was saying that,
the other two guys were.
Yeah, it's not about running the football more and like being a dual threat. It's about being able to hold up to the hits that he's going to take. And holding up to, again, the workload on his arm, being able to throw the ball down the field better to get a couple more RPMs on his throws, which it certainly looks like he has more of at this point in time. So yeah, no, I could absolutely, he looks better. He looks like he's in better shape. No doubt about that. To get to a quick, the non-crazy points with Kendrick Bourne, like, he was the best receiver on the team last year. I mean, maybe he's not the guy that you ideally want as a number one, but Yeah, he was the best weapon they had. I don't know what you want to say. I don't know what you want me to say.
Yeah, I would rather throw the ball to him more often than they did a year ago and more than Jacoby Myers. I just feel like you're going to get more bang for your buck throwing the ball to Kendrick Bourne, who's a more athletic guy, makes guys miss after the catch. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. We're taking you up until Red Sox pregame, which comes your way at 5:10. And coming up next, will Mac Jones have more rushing yards than both Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray next year? We'll hit it next here on EEI.
WEEI. We are right back to Fitzy and Hart.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back in. Brian Barrett, Kyrie Thompson in for Andy Hart. Fitzy is here. Getting you ready for Red Sox pregame, which comes your way in about 15 minutes from now or so. But actually, no, I did my math. That's bad math. About 20 minutes from now. 617-779-7937, the number. A lot of Patriots today.
A lot of Patriots today. With some, dare I say, great takes in the last hour. Some really, really solid, solid takes. The kind of stuff that we're going to be revisiting that when they inspire us to create content, articles, listicles, etc.
At no point did I expect to come on the air today and hear people say that we should be running like more like zone reads with Mac Jones and like more quarterback draws and quarterback powers with Mac Jones.
You heard him. He's going to have more rushing yards. He has the potential to be the new Mike.
And I love the other part of that too. Is I saw the text that we're sending to the line, right? And it's like, yeah, go look at that Buffalo run. It's like, yeah, I mentioned that Buffalo run as a fact that, you know, like, yeah, he could have run more at points. And then it was like, oh, yeah, well, Vic and Lamar are better athletes, but why haven't they won more Super Bowls? What are we talking about now? So, wait, I thought you said that. You know, running. So what? Now you're saying running quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls. Why you want him to run more then? What are we talking about?
He doesn't really run. I would say Mac Jones has more like scoots and scampers than he really like has. Like you're not going to see a lot of designed quarterback runs.
Please,
it'll
no.
be
yes.
a breakdown that leads to 7 yards for the first down running out of bounds. Like I said again,
never
Burrow. Justin Herbert's not a great runner, but he knows how to move when he needs to get a first down.
The only designed run you should ever call for Mac Jones is a quarterback sneak. That's it. Don't want to see anything else.
Yeah, they get crazy on a Saturday, man. So that guy, the original guy that promoted running with Mac Moore, his name was Richie. So, Fitzy, this is in from the 781. Steven Seagal, quote, hey, anybody seen Richie?
Richie, yeah. Hey, anyone seen Richie? Anyone know where Richie is? Richie! That's
what movie is that from?
That is one of the Steven Seagal three-word movie titles. I think that one's Out for Justice.
Out for Justice?
Mm-hmm.
Good one?
Maybe Time. Is that time for? Yeah, Out for Justice, I think. If I had to put my money on it, I would say it's Out for Justice.
So do you think right
good
now...
one. They're all good. Are you kidding me? I'm wearing a Jean-Claude Van Damme shirt. You understand the library and catalog of action movies I celebrate?
You're a big action movie guy?
Oh, are you kidding?
You a big superhero guy, too?
Action first, superhero. More sci-fi than superhero. Gotcha. That's Keith's lane. I like him, but I'm, you know...
So my question is, do you guys think that right now, mm-hmm. Bill is sitting out there outside with Nike, listening to EEI, saying, hey... maybe Richie's onto something.
0%. Absolutely 0%. I did want to get to...
I still can't believe that happened.
No, he's floating somewhere on the harbor in Nantucket on 8 rings.
By the way, have you guys seen Nike lately?
No. Is he big?
Looks like a little too many treats for Nike. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, are you fat shaming the Patriots? Bill's
Nike
dog?
Looks a little puffy. That's all I'm going to say. Nike. Wow. I don't know if Bill's not.
Bill got to get him on the hill, apparently.
Yeah.
Get him on the hill.
Yeah. Start doing some hills behind the stadium.
Nike looks like, okay, Nike, enough treats. Let's get to Paul is in Quincy. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good morning, guys. Oh, good morning. How you doing? Yeah. All right. Good afternoon. Just real quick, just wanted to say next year's slogan for the Patriots, stock up on tearaway jerseys because Mac Jones has Earl Campbell thighs. And Betty Davis eyes.
Okay.
All right.
You did it again.
Hey. Now we know why they only schedule 3-hour shows in the Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. We're going back to that next week, right?
I was going to say, if anyone were to have missed any of this show, of course, you can always go to WEEI.com or the Odyssey app. You can follow us on Twitter at WEEI as well, as the hourly blocks of shows are tweeted out with regularity. Please, by all means, make sure you download, save, and share this past hour, which has been some hot, if I dare say, transcendent radio. But do get the Odyssey app, AUDACY, with your Earl Campbell thighs and Betty Davis eyes whenever possible.
Can I just bring this back to something that sounds semi, like, you know, pertinent, I guess? And this is going back a little ways, mm-hmm, about some of the contract stuff. We had a question way back, like, what, 2 hours ago, before everything just went to absolute hell. We had some questions about why are the Patriots waiting so long with, like, David Andrews contracts, and why don't they just restructure guys right away? And then we also had somebody mention, you know, Jacoby Myers and such. I wanted to talk about that because with the money stuff, I think that it's the reason David Andrews did not have his contract restructured, or like Matthew Judon didn't have his contract restructured right away, is because the Patriots don't like to do that. Like, think about what that means, right? So that means kicking money into the future, and it reduces your flexibility to potentially be able to move on from someone if you feel like you want to do that. And again, like, the cap can be fudged and all that stuff, but in the end, it always can come back to bite teams, because then you're just pushing more money into the future and more money into the future.
Kicking the can down, down the road.
Exactly. And I don't think the Patriots like to do that. And I think that all in all, that's a pretty solid way to do business, is to try and keep it in real money and in the here and now. It just happened to be that they were so tied up against it because of all the spending that they did last year. They had to make a couple of moves. And the fact that they've only done it so far with one player, right, with David Andrews, I think they might have to do it with Judon potentially. But I do think that this is a point that Brian made way back. Kendrick Bourne should be on your short list of players that you should think about extending. Right. Because that lowers cap hits in the immediate. And obviously, like, you don't have to pay them later. But again, you can adjust that down the road. Hunter Henry, another player I think that you should think about extending, lowers the cap hit for the here and now. You can, you know, move that stuff, you know, down the road. That's a better way of doing it if you can, than pushing future money, like pushing money into the future, because it does reduce your flexibility. It doesn't matter for the Patriots so much next year because they have so much cap space. Right? So you can absorb that. That's not going to be a problem. But for other teams that are in worse situations, that's why the Patriots wouldn't do that.
Well, and with Bourne in particular, it feels like we're all high on Bourne. We think he's going to have, in terms of just like the raw numbers, they're going to be much better this year than they were a season ago, because it just feels like second year with this organization, they're going to involve him even more. And if you look at it in terms of his contract, so he signed for this year at 27 and in 2023 at 2028. Or at 28 in 2023, I should say, his cap hit $6.9 million. So that means he is scheduled to be a free agent in 2024. And you would think that's his 29-year-old season. You would want to give him a 2 to 3 year extension. And it would almost behoove the Patriots to take care of that now, because if you do go into next season and his numbers go significantly up, it's going to be more difficult for you to get a deal done with the guy. So you already got him on this contract. Is going to
be
one
cheap.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the most valuable contracts in the NFL. Like, he's on a $3 or $15 million deal.
My guy Brad Spielberger at Pro Football Focus, I've chatted with him for here and elsewhere. We go back a little bit. He actually put out an article recently that had Kendrick Bourne as like the 17th or something like that most valuable contract in the league. And Matthew Judon comes in slightly under that at you know, the 20th. So they got some really good play out of the guys that they signed last year. And the thing was, they spent a lot of money, but they got them at less than they would have gotten them in this past year. Because COVID had people a little bit less afraid to spend. So guys are like, okay, the Patriots are handing out relative paydays compared to what everybody else would be spending on us now. But yeah, like, you saw the wide receiver market go up, right, in the past couple of years. So, mm-hmm, so now Kendrick Bourne and Jacoby Myers are going to be looking for more money than they would have. So now they have to ride the line of bargain versus, you know, paying them what they want, what they're going to want. And I think that if you got to pick between which one, I would say, like between Kendrick Bourne and Jacoby Myers, I would do Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, because the upside is same. There, right? With Jacoby Myers, like, I don't
You know what you're getting with Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, he's a solid player. I'm not diminishing what he does, but yeah. I don't think it's like...
But you wouldn't pay him Kendrick right. Bourne's but, contract.
Yeah, can Jacoby exactly. Myers run for more yards than Mike Vick?
I'm hoping he can. He was a quarterback back in the day, right?
Yeah.
But I don't
does
see,
throw
like,
nice pass.
If you just look at the player, I don't look into the 2022 version of Jacoby Myers and say... There is a significant amount of growth that he can make as a player, right? He pretty much, at this point, we kind of know what he is. He's a solid receiver, chain mover type guy. But with Kendrick Bourne, it's like, all right, well, if you give him more opportunities, the numbers could be totally different from what they were a year ago, and you could get a lot more out of that player. So that's why I just look at, if you're just valuing the upside of the two players, the upside with Kendrick Bourne is way higher than it is with Jacoby Myers. And the other thing I'll say, just to make a cross-sport comparison is, I feel like this is almost a situation with Kendrick Bourne where, like, if you look at Major League Baseball, like, the Houston Astros, before Alex Bregman was even close to becoming a free agent, and he wasn't even arbitration eligible yet, they gave him a contract extension. The Red Sox never did that with Devers. Like, so they could have offered Devers a similar contract to Bregman, and at the time, maybe Devers says okay to that because he's so far away from free agency. But since now Devers is in a position where he has this year and next year under club control, it doesn't really make sense for him to take a team-friendly deal. But when he's 6 years away from it, okay, it makes more sense. So now this year, when he only has 1 year left on the deal, he may be more willing to play ball to just say, hey, I do want to lock up a long-term contract because who the hell knows what happens in the future. So
think about the money that's going to get dropped on like a DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
Right? Or a Debo. When those guys hit, you already saw big money getting passed out with Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill and stuff like that.
But A.J. Brown getting four yeah. for a hundo and the Titans not wanting to hold on to him and now getting 50% of him. And Treylon Burks.
Yeah, and so the thing is, you're not going to have, you know, Kendrick Bourne or Jacoby Myers commanding that much money. But again, you had Christian Kirk, who's like a good player, right? Getting $84 million up to $84 million.
People should send him flowers and a percentage of their checks as their wide receivers.
That's exactly
going
what's going to happen. So they should, if they want to keep, you know, either one of those guys, they need to get out ahead of this. The Patriots are probably going to lowball. I think especially Myers. Because of kind of what he is as a player, I think that, I don't know. I could see the potential of him coming back, but I don't know that that's a given.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to re-sign him. I think their priority is going to be in yeah. keeping Kendrick Bourne. I feel like this is probably going to
be. That's how it should be.
Yeah, unless Myers takes like, and we've seen it happen before, it takes like a team-friendly deal.
Exactly, that's what it's
going
to have to be.
Yeah, I see him going elsewhere after yep. the 2022 mm-hmm. season. Yeah. I don't see him being, look, he's a solid player and all that, but I wouldn't be like heartbroken if they lose yeah. a guy like Jacoby Myers.
No, he's homegrown, though. I'd rather they hold. As we spoke earlier of the wide receiver room being one of complementary pieces coming together, he certainly serves a role. It'll be interesting to see. Who do you think Devontae Parker has the biggest impact on, or the biggest, like, if he, let's say he plays 14 out of 17 games, which would be a hugely healthy year for him because he's only played one full NFL season, right? Who do you think who benefits the most in the wide receiver room because of Devontae Parker's addition?
Nelson Agholor.
Aguilar.
I immediately think it's going to be Nelson Agholor. I also think that kind of down the line, right? If Parker can contribute and stay healthy, that means that you don't ask a whole lot of Tyquan Thornton mm-hmm. in year one, and you can just kind of bring him along and put him on the field whenever you feel like it, and you're not pressing him into service. And I think that with Jacoby Myers, it's like undrafted free agent, right? He's not making the $3 million, you know, dollars, 3.9 he's making this year is the most by far he's ever made. So at this point, it's like, if he wants to get paid, if he wants to cash in for as much as he can while he can, then I think he's going to do that someplace else.
Yeah, the one question I have about the Parker situation is just, if you look at when he had his best season, it was in 19 with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Fitzpatrick is the ultimate YOLO quarterback. He, mm-hmm. he doesn't care, he just throws it up, and Parker's a contested catch guy, right? So this stuff is tracked by Next Gen. Aggressiveness rating means how often you throw into tight windows, the mm-hmm. closest defender within a yard. So Fitzpatrick in that year, his aggressiveness rating was 20.9%. That was fourth in the NFL. Mack last year was tied for 21st.
Yeah.
at 15.4%. So I am wondering if Mac is going to take advantage in the way of Parker like some other quarterbacks will, just because he tends not to lean that way.
Yeah, and Parker...
That was Mac last year with McDaniels.
And Parker, in that same vein, gets some of the least amount of separation in the league. It's like 1.6 yards of separation.
He's tied for last.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But he's big, he's tall, got good hands.
We'll see. I mean, but I think that he's been a little bit more aggressive so far, so we'll see if that carries over.
And the encouraging words that you had earlier, Kyrie, were Mac obviously going deep and looking often to guys like Trey Nixon in camp and connecting with him. If he can bring that fearlessness into the season, hey, who knows?
All right, Kyrie, thanks for coming in, man. Fitzy, absolutely, thanks for having us on your show.
Hey, thank you for driving my show today. I was more than happy to play passenger in my car today. This was a ton of fun, a fast 4+ hours with a lot of Patriots talk. And shout out to everyone who called from Connecticut in the fourth and final hour.
I would say no, not a shout out to them.
No.
Stiz, thank you for being here, man. Thank you. We appreciate it. Coming up next, Red Sox baseball as they get ready for game two of this 3-game set with the Guardians. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. Be safe and be well.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.